There is a word. And I prayed hard and long about what God would have me say on an occasion such as this. And the choir affirmed it in song. They shared it. There is a word in Acts, the 16th chapter. And I would that you would turn with me, verses 25 through 34. But I'm just going to read, for the sake of time, the 25th verse. But it captures that whole passage of Scripture, verses 25 through 34. It's on the screen, you can follow. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. I want to talk as you lend me your audible amens. I still believe that regardless to how able the preacher is, there needs to be some able prayer warriors in the pews. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
This is a miracle.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen.
I came to do two things at the invitation of your pastor. I came to commend you, but then I also came to challenge you. The challenge is, what do you do after the miracle?
All right, all right, all right, all right.
This is a miracle.
Amen.
But what do you do after your miracle? Amen. Still believe that if you pray with me, you can make a long message shorter. If you don't pray with me, I'll just stay longer and enjoy the moment. It is impossible for any one of us to look around, to drive on this parking lot, to walk in this beautiful sanctuary, come down the North X, see the classrooms, to see what God has done, and not describe it in any way other than a miracle. And I say that intentionally because any church that seeks to build today with rising costs, with material and labor constantly going up, with codes changing, many of which you were not even aware of. It's hard under normal circumstances to describe a church seeking to build when churches today, doors are closing, when attendance is dwindling. People would much rather worship at home in their pajamas than gather with believers in the Lord's house.
Make it plain.
Under normal circumstances, it would be a challenge to build. But under pandemic circumstances, it's even more a challenge to try to do this today. And yet, God has moved upon you to do the impossible, to attempt to do what no one can do except the Lord be with them. I want to suggest to those of us who would hear me today that if you would even want to reach a miracle, that miracles start always on the platform of a problem. No problem, no miracle. Miracle suggests problems. But if you attempt, if you desire to get a miracle, you must make sure, first of all, that you're reaching in the right direction. I don't care how gifted, how able, how secure, how knowledgeable someone has told you you are. If you want a miracle, you got to start with Jesus. For those who would embrace the Christian faith, knows that it's always the presence of Christ who presents himself in situations that on the surface seem impossible. Yet someone said, with but one stroke of omnipotence, he performs the miraculous. Yes, I came to tell you what to do after the miracle. But before I share what to do after the miracle, I think it necessary to be clear that there are some things you ought not do after the miracle. After your miracle, you cannot afford to sit paralyzed in the pews and non-compliant to Christian worship. You can't afford to come in here looking at what God has done and not lift up holy hands, not make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If you could praise him on the other side, you certainly ought to come in here shouting inside. You cannot afford after the miracle to allow the luxury of sitting still and being silent in the sanctuary. Some would say, let everything. Look at your neighbor and say, let everything that have breath. Don't bring me down. Keep me up here. I want to be loud intentionally. Let everything that have breath, come on and talk with me, praise ye the Lord. You can't afford, you can't allow the comfort of being cute and cozy in the congregation of the righteous. I'm talking about after your miracle. You cannot afford to hit the mute button on your speakerphone and not declare the deliverance of the Almighty. When I searched through the Word and researched the Holy Bible, I noticed some things that gives reason for doing something after the miracle. You remember it was after the miracle of the Red Sea that the children of Israel held a praise and worship service. Somebody say that was after the miracle. It was after the miracle of the slaying of Goliath. David held a testimony service by holding the head of Goliath in the front of the face of King David. Say after the miracle. After the miracle of the fiery furnace, three Hebrew boys signed a pledge card. And we don't like signing pledge cards because we try to be so pious and say, I don't want to sign this because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Those same folk who can't sign a pledge in God's house sign a pledge card when they get a car. Same folk who say, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, sign a pledge card when they get a home. And yet they have to depend upon God to help them make the payments. Three Hebrew boys signed a pledge card decreeing their love for the Lord, recognizing it was God who had brought them out. After the miracle of the miraculous conception, the baby, John the Baptist, inside the womb of his mother, Elizabeth, the Bible says, leaped and shouted for joy. So, in light of all of these instances of what took place after the miracle, I thought, Hawk, that it would be wise and prudent that I would suggest to the Living Faith family that the Holy Spirit would be your teacher. And that you would discover and decide to be good students. So you can learn both the cues and the clues on what to do after the miracle. Well, according to the text, I believe that it is tailor-made to teach us at least three things of what to do after the miracle. Well, I want you to help me here. Touch your neighbor and say, improve your response time. Oh yes, during these years of a pandemic, things that needed to be said on the political front, that needed to be said, things that needed to be done, nothing was said or done. Something needed to be said was not said. And I thought about that. What if Jesus Christ, in the midst of everything we've experienced, what would he say should be our response after you got your miracle? Because you see, whenever God brings about a miraculous occurrence in your life, there ought to be at least three responses. Are you going to pray with me here? The first response after your miracle should be share your testimony. Come on, tell somebody, share your testimony. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Because when I look back over my life,
And I saw how many times God lifted me, how many times God delivered me. I cannot afford not to open my mouth. There ought to be some praise going on up in here. There ought to be a testimony going up in here right now after the miracle. Share your testimony. It says in essence in verse 25 that the prisoners heard them, meaning they were listening. You know, some folk are private, some are more to ourselves, extroverts, some are introverts. But I've discovered, Sandy, that all of us are uniquely private and personal people. But when you understand that your miracle, when you understand that your deliverance was not because of you, when you understand that your miracle was really in spite of you, you will testify. Somebody said, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that has his own. How many of you that God's been good to have a testimony to share? Somebody says, why? Because the prisoners were listening. The miracle that took place for Paul and Silas was no longer a private matter. The earthquake wasn't a private matter. The opening of the prison doors was not a private matter. The loosening of the prisoner's chains was not a private matter. Now don't miss the point. Your miracle. Can I knock on your door? Your deliverance, your crises, your addiction, your freaky friendship may have started out private, but your deliverance, your breakthrough, your supernatural occurrence, your miracle is no longer private, it's public. When you cut the ribbon, last week it wasn't private, it was public. When you open the doors of this church, it's no longer private, it's public. You see, because there's always somebody you don't know who does know what you've been through and where you used to be and where you are now. You used to be somewhere else, but now you got peace. But when the last time they saw you, you were in a crisis. It's well with your soul now, but last time they saw you, you were ill. You're drug free now. But when they saw you the last time, you had addiction. You're committed now. But when they saw you the last time, you were chasing everything. Well, let me put it in simple terms. A public declaration of a private problem that God brought you through is your first assignment for God and from God.
When you remember when Jesus healed that demoniac whose name was Legion, Jesus told him something new. He told him, go home and tell all your friends the good things the Lord has done for you. When that prodigal son ran wild, came home, the father didn't do something private. He had a public celebration. He said, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf. Why? Because this my son was dead. He's alive. Now, it wasn't private anymore. When God delivers you, when God gives you a miracle, you ought not have to look at somebody else and ask them, what should I do? Ought to be a praise over here. Ought to be a shout right here. Ought to be a thank you, Jesus, right here. Ought to be, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself over here. In other words, everybody ought to have something to say. But the question is, do you know when to testify? Some folk don't testify because they don't know when to testify. The choir helped me here again. They testified because in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, I believed, so therefore I spoke. If you believe, you can't help yourself. When you get to the place that believing God is what brought you where you were to where you are now, then when you believe it, you'll speak it. When you got that house, when you signed the papers, you believed that it was yours. So you started telling folk about it. Ladies, when you got that engagement ring and you believed that it was yours, you didn't keep it to yourself. You started telling others about it. When you got that job offer that folks said you never get, and you believed that it was yours, you started telling others about it. When you discovered what God was doing over here at Living Faith, and you believed it, then you ought to start telling everybody about it. What did they know that we should learn? They learned that no situation is helpless as long as you trust in the Lord. They learned that no hardship is totally without blessing. They learned that whatever happens to us is always screened through the wise providence of God. Because we understand good or bad, all things. Somebody say all things. Work together for my good. Because I love the Lord. Well, improve your response time. Don't wait until the benediction to open your mouth. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, hadn't even made it to church, but just thinking about what was going to happen when I get there made me want to open my mouth. So that's my first response. My second response to the miracle is recognize your opportunity. Somebody say, recognize your opportunity. Verse 28 says, they told them, do thyself no harm. The late great evangelist Billy Graham once said that opportunity is an unrecoverable moment. That God will create moments of opportunities in all of our lives so we can share with somebody else. The text says, the jail keeper wiped the cobwebs of slumber from his eyes and saw that the prison doors were open. Now, he understood that under Roman law, when a prisoner escapes under your watch, the penalty was to pay for it with your life. Now, you don't shout, I'm about to shout myself. When the prison guard gets ready to commit suicide, pulls out his sword, places it towards his neck, the Apostle Paul responds by saying, do thyself no harm. And I don't care what church you're part of, what church you came from. Every church is full of X something. X liars, X fornicators, X adulterers, X embezzlers. Every church is full of X something. And so when you see someone who is what you used to be, that's an opportunity to tell them that if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. Can I get a witness here that God can do anything but fail? The prison God supposed all the captors were loose. Let me throw out something. Supposing can be costly, especially when it comes to your salvation. Supposing can be costly when it comes to where you're going to spend eternity. You don't need to suppose. You need to be certain. Are you a child of God? I'm asking a question here. Are you saved? Do you know for a fact that heaven is your home? You ought not suppose that. You ought to know that. So what do I do after my miracle? Say, give a testimony. What do I do after my miracle? Recognize my opportunity. But lastly, what do I do after my testimony? Is thank God for your discovery. The book says that everyone in his house believed God. You know, I've come to recognize that we all experience God on at least three distinct levels. Ask your neighbor, what level are you on? Level one is the familial level. We learn about God from somebody else's experience. Mama said, God will make a way somehow. Daddy said, he may not come when you want him. Fill in the blanks. But he's always right on time. So we experience God through familial levels. Then the second level, we experience God on an intellectual level. We learn about God through study, through reflection and meditation. We learn about God through small groups, through Sunday school, through discipleship training and a good sermon. But tell your neighbor, that's good, but that's not good enough. Because level three is we learn about God through that which is practical and real. Has anybody ever had to go through something for yourself? You've reached the realization that had it not been for God, that you would not be where you are. So somebody experienced God through sickness. Somebody experience God through loneliness, through a crisis. Somebody experience God through drugs, jealousy, and insecurity. Well, when God is up to something, I find myself in one of those levels. But God is trying to move you to get to the point where you go beyond saying, I heard it through the grapevine. But you're now at a point where you say, I know for myself. You'll be able to say, like the hymnologist, there are some things I may not know. There are some places I may not go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real. He's real in my soul. And ought to be a witness up in here today that have reached that third level. You ought to be able to say, I can tell the world about this, that I can tell the nation that I've been blessed, that I can tell them what the Lord has done for me. I wish I had somebody up in here this Lord's Day that can say, look at what the Lord has done. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody in here that's not ashamed to say, had it not been for the Lord that was on my side, I wouldn't be here right now? I want to ask somebody, ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way out of no way? Give your neighbor a high five and say, I can't help myself. I gotta make some noise.
I gotta tell somebody, look at what the Lord has done. If you're not ashamed, you ought to stand up right now. Give somebody a high five and say, he's real. He is real. Say, he walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. Anybody got joy? Don't fool me now. Anybody got joy? Say yeah. Say yeah. Oh yes. I've experienced him for myself. Say he's real. Look around your living faith. Say he's real. I can't sit down without saying he's real. I can't look in this sanctuary without saying he's real. Can I get somebody not ashamed right now to just say loud, yes, yes, he is real. They believed it, so they spoke it. What do I do after my miracle? I don't just sit down and look at other folk. I don't just say, Pastor, you do it. Say, we are laborers together with God.